Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Christo and Jean-Claude, their names are known around the world for their large-scale installations. From wrapping Reichstag building in Berlin in 1995 to the Gates, which was installed in Central Park here in 2005, it was beautiful. The couple's work inspired awe both for their sheer scale as well as their grace. A new documentary directed by Andrei Paunov, titled Walking on Water, follows Christo as he realizes his first work since Jean-Claude passed away. The project is called The Floating Piers, and true to its name, it involved installing almost 2 miles of brightly colored cloth-covered piers on Lake Iseo in Italy, which quite literally allowed people to walk on the lake's surface. Let's listen to a montage of Christo from the film explaining a bit more.
The Floating Piers, the project for Lake Iseo in Italy, in the foot of the Alps in northern Italy. Lake Iseo.
Yeah.
Okay. Lake Iseo. Something totally different, out of the world. Out of the world, I can tell you. Totally flabbergasted. It's absolutely out of the world. Out of the world, something you never believe it. And you will walk in the water for 3 kilometers. Literally, you walk in the water.
The film opened at Film Forum on Friday, May 17th, and you can hear Christo discuss the film, the project, and his 50-year career this coming Wednesday, May 22nd, at the 92nd Street Y. I'm thrilled that now Andrei Paunov and Christo are able to join me in the studio. Thank you for spending some time with me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Andrei, how did you come to make this film?
It's a long story, but I always had a dream to make a film about Christo, a documentary, because he's the most fantastic character for nonfiction, I think, on the planet. And Christo's project take a very short time, usually they're out there for 2 weeks and then they disappear. They're usually heavily documented. And when the floating piers came to an end, they ended up with, they had 10 different crews following Christo and the whole production and everything for 6 months, and they ended up with all this documentation, 750 hours. And I was approached by Christo crew and the producers with the idea to evaluate the footage and see if we can make a film out of it.
That is a huge undertaking.
Oh yeah.
How did you know where to start?
I didn't. I just started. You know, you just jump
in
with your head.
Christo, why is documentation so critical to your work and important for you?
Yeah, for many years, you know.
Yeah.
Before I met Andre, very recently, we have a great chance to meet one of the greatest documentary movie maker, Albert and David Maisel, mm-hmm. in 1961 in Paris. And we became like a family, and Albert and David follow many of our projects, making these once-in-a-lifetime things, drama and... You need it because the project is something after 2 weeks we're gone forever, and we like to be very conscious mm-hmm. to capture it in some way, the existing of that temporary works, and exists, of course, later an exhibition, documentary exhibition. We're very also conscious to have a books, but the film is something exceptionally and important for the project.
Is it important to you personally?
No, I'm enjoying, you know, it's impossible. His adventure is something unique. And you should see this thing never happen again. It's not something we know how to do it. We do know how to do it. And of course, is that now I'm not very young, almost 84. And I will never do any retrospective on my work because I like to do new things. And I like to be exposed to something so demanding, so energetic that I need to think all the time to be there and survive.
So this piece, Floating Piers, you had tried before to make this piece, correct?
No, okay, no tried before. First, if I have time.
Oh,
for many years, Jean-Claude and myself, we did temporary works of art. We realized only 23 projects, but we failed to get permission for 47 projects.
Okay.
Yeah, that is not normal ratio for the artist. but it's normal ratio of architecture. And if you understand that how many architects design buildings never built, our project have a lot of similarity of that. Not to do with sculpture or painting or normal thing have art, involving a huge amount of possibility to lease to rent the land. And sometimes we're very engaged and work very hard. 26 years for the Gates since 1979 and 25 years for the Reichstag. And but this is why sometimes the project is refused, but we like to do it. Sometimes we refuse, we don't like to do it anymore. And that is the story of Floating Pyramid. Floating Pyramid was refused in 1970. You know, it was not complicated. We need to have a calm water, little lake or delta of the river. We tried to do it in Argentina in 70, in Japan sometime in the 90s. And when Jean-Claude passed away, I was thinking we should try to do that without Jean-Claude, but something I like to possibly to be done. And do not I point it like Lake Iseo, we know very well Italy. And when I lived in Paris in the late 50s, early 60s, and I have a lot of exhibition and friends, and we're hoping to get permission. And we got the permission very fast.
Andre, some of the tension in the film as I was watching it, is this, you're fighting the weather and you're fighting bureaucracy to make this, Christo and his crew and his team. I'm wondering if that was the same for you as the filmmaker. Or as a filmmaker, was this such a good part of the story, or did you have to fight the elements and bureaucracy and difficulty?
Well, all I had to fight is I didn't have to fight all these elements, but I had to fight 750 hours.
Well, I was wondering, in looking at the footage, were the crews fighting with, you know, trying to get the shots and all that kind of thing?
Yes, I mean, but there were cameras rolling all the time, and it was just this big mess of footage and things, and it was very, very much kind of like a detective story, going back and trying to find the pieces and trying to put this whole thing together, and at the same time not making a banal representation of the project, but actually trying to create three-dimensional characters out of the main players.
I kept thinking, I used to work in television, and I just kept thinking about the cameramen and their lenses. They're always so worried about their lenses with the wet. And when I saw the rainstorm, I thought, oh, this cameraman must be having a time.
Yeah.
My guests are Christo and Andre Panov. We're talking about Walking on Water, which opened at Film Forum on Friday. Christo, it took a small army to make this project, from the sewing of the fabric to installing the bricks. What do you call them? The pieces of material. I want to call them cubes. Thank you, the cubes.
They're very small cubes. You know, they're only 50 by 50 centimeters. And some way, this is new technology. If the project was happened in the early time, in the 70s or 90s, that technology do not exist. And that allows with these 200,000 cubes to be literally like a woven fabric. You know, they are so movable, like a real cloth woven. And this is why I have this sensation that you are on the top of the baleen, you know, and you think, you feel the motion of the water really very much all the time. It's not like on a boat, it's not like anything else.
Christo, how many people came to the floating piers by the time it was over?
1,250,000 people. We know that because the government obliged us to count, because the security was incredible to that project, to count it, to control the traffic of the people.
That's a big part of the film, is that sense of, because it's only there for a limited time, the amount of people who wanted to come see
it. 16 days. You know.
Were you ever concerned about safety?
We're concerned about safety very much. And of course, there's something, this project is very radical on all levels. Probably can happen only in the country when you have this aesthetical relation with art. You know, that water is not the shallow water. That water is between 100 meter depth to 200 meter depth. This is the glacier from the Alps. And that walking piers have no rail. and you see, you walk an open space, and only Italians can have the courage. Mm-hmm. And that was the amount, the aesthetical decision, that the project should happen like that. This is absolutely, it's not a bridge, it's floating piers.
Andre, in the film, you know, there's these great, beautiful wide shots we get. We get these macro, big shots. But there's also a lot of small moments and gestures in the film that you included. Can you explain that choice to me as a filmmaker?
Well, you know, you cannot make films about things. You can only make films about people. And I'm only interested in people, in human beings, and how they function and their worlds. And especially with this project, because when we started, we were thinking, okay, so how do we make a film about the floating piers? Everyone has seen the floating piers. It was all over Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, social media, news. And you know, just making a banal representation of the project and showing some pictures of it is not enough in order to make a documentary. And at the same time, I was really interested into the kitchen of art production, what happens behind the curtains. So what was the one thing that nobody actually has seen about this project? And and this was Christo. Who is Christo? What drives him? And the family around him and the extended family, that it's actually a small army that produces dreams and makes dreams come true. So this is what I was after, and that's what I was interested in. And the way it was done was really trying to find these small pieces and bits of life and character in order to build this three-dimensional presence of human beings that are chasing a dream. And this is what I think this film is all about.
We get to know Christo in the film, but we also get to know Vladimir.
Yes.
Can you describe Vladimir for our audience?
My, you know, because now there's been so much press about it, and my favorite description of Vladimir is the bear-like. The bear-like.
He's just my nephew. No?
He is your nephew, yes. Yeah. And he is a protective of you. It's kind of lovely how protective he is of you.
Yeah.
But can you describe how he is bear-like and protective? And all business, too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that to me, when I was scrolling through all this material and trying to find the bits and pieces in order to create this piece, I basically realized that the real film there is about these two people, mm-hmm. about Christo and his nephew, about an artist and the person who is behind him, and their relationship, which is fire and emotion and so many things, just gave us the opportunity to, you know, tell the story in the best possible way. But to me, he's just the one person who is there behind Christo's back, who makes sure that things happen.
It's a great relationship.
Yeah.
How would you describe your nephew, Vladimir?
First, I know him from very young. And he was working with Jean-Claude for long, long years, so over 20 years. And when Jean-Claude passed away, I inherited him, you know. This is the, put it that way. He was there, and he was became a total part of my existence. You know, all this project cannot be done by me, you know, even Jean-Claude. We need to have a really incredible group of people together. You don't know, there's no easy way. The engineers, specialists, and people, sometimes we hire somebody we need to fire because they don't do, there are no rules, there are no precedent. The only important thing is that project should be realized. And any other thing should be regarded as secondary.
This is just off the top of my head. When a project is finished, after 14, 16 days.
Yes.
Are you done with it emotionally? Are you sad to see it go? Or is it just, that's the end and that's the end?
No, really. The most draining and the most difficult part is when the project is exhibited. You know, all that area became our property. It is exhausting around the clock. Everything goes smoothly. And I remember Jean-Claude, when they asked that question, they oof. Hope is over because it's enough. You know, because everybody, you know, thought, no way, a relief. that, you know, it's basically they know 1 second you're not responsible.
So there is a relief.
Yeah.
My guests are Christo and Andrei Pavlov. We're talking about the film Walking on Water. The music in the film, the score, is really, it's almost a character in the film. It really helps us. It's like a narrator in some ways. Tell me about some of the music choices you made.
Well, you know, I mean, in the beginning, it was quite complicated to come with the concept for music that I can use for, you know, to complement Christo's work. So this took quite a long time. And then at one point, I got to the idea of using Steve Reich, because to me, he was not only suitable as music, but he was also close in terms of, you know, generation of artists to Christo. And I started using, and also he's a positive minimalist, which happens rare. but yeah, and I started using this some beats and pieces of his music here and there with the time. And at the same time, simultaneously, Christo appeared one day. And he was like, you know, I have this idea. There's this composer, Steve Reich. I really like him. I think you should check out his work, and maybe we try to use him for the film. I was like, Christo, I'm using this music for like already 6 months. And that's how we started. We started with Steve Reich, and then I had fantastic composers to work with, and we actually started on the bass of Steve Reich, and we just built a soundtrack that in a way keeps on this minimalist tradition and just complements and helps inject energy and sense of wonder, you know, into this verite style visuals. So that was it.
What was it about Steve Reich that you thought would be good for this film?
No, I met Steve many years ago, living here for over 55 years. And but never, I think, will be, I'm not involved with music and any films. And I let suggesting to give some for dynamics of the, especially action part of the film.
Mm-hmm. Andre, I read in an interview that you said you were influenced by Bob Dylan's 1967 documentary, Don't Look Back. Is that true?
Yes. Well, I said it was like a, you know, my previous work is very much set into Eastern Europe and a completely different context of a completely different world. And it was a great opportunity, possibility to come and do something completely new and different. And of course, I was thinking about the previous films that were done on Christo by the Maisels. Mm-hmm. But I was also thinking in a larger context of what do I like into American documentaries and all these films that I loved, like from you know, the end of the 50s, the beginning of the 60s, the direct cinema. And the one film that has always been kind of standing out was Don't Look Back, because it's, again, a portrait of an artist that is done without interviews, without voiceover, without someone telling you what to think or showing you things, just allowing you to experience and spending some time with someone. And I found this, and I love this intimacy that it has. So to me, it was kind of a guiding light. I was like, okay, if this was done this way, then I guess I'll be revivalist, and I go in this direction.
Christo, I did not know this. I'm embarrassed to say that I did not know this until I watched the film, is that you self-fund your project.
Our project, I fund myself, everything. But you know, that is about the freedom. We decided what we'll do. Nobody asked us to build gates. Nobody asked us to rob the Reichstag. Nobody asked to build a running fence in Northern California. Our decision. We like to do it, it's no secret. I tell you, each project has its own story. But at the very end, I escaped from communist country. I will not give 1 millimeter of my freedom. It's very expensive. This is why everything I do to be done my way. And as I know, it's not very social, but this is, I'm absolutely translate that. You know, art is something only humans can do. There's no reason to justify art. Have nothing to do with goodness, nothing to do with every moral issue and everything. Art is inexplicable part of something only humans can do. And this project is about that. is really about total freedom, irrational, useless, totally unnecessary. The people can live without them. I don't care or don't care. But there's something so inexplicable that makes them so important.
Who cares if it's social or not? You're doing what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
With your art.
Yeah, and it's, I know is I do is sometimes preposterous, sometimes is the unreasonable, and actually I'm criticized also many times that I have no right to spend so much energy with my life to so many useless things. But I'm 84. I will not change. I will be always like that.
Who cares what other people think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm in that camp.
Yes.
Before I ask you, what did you learn as a filmmaker making this film? You have a lot of experience, but each new project we do, we get something out of it.
Well, you know, the most fantastic thing about making documentaries is that you're allowed into, you know, participate in people's lives, dreams, very close environment. And it's always a different journey. It's always a very exciting journey. I'm very curious about the world and very curious about human beings. And with Christo, I went on one of the most incredible journeys. And, you know, also besides the 750 hours that I inherited from all the different crews, we continued documenting Christo. And there's some the epilogue of the film is something that we shot. And now we continue to follow his adventures all over the planet, over the globe, and it's just, you know, I keep on learning from him, let's put it this way. It's just, I like the way, the direction he walks and the way he does things, and I think that's a very good example for something to follow as an artist.
It's a pretty good job you have.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your next project?
We never work on one project because we don't know whether that project will be realized. And actually, one of the beautiful parts of the film, who I like very much, is the ending of the film that he directed. Andre suggested and tried to be filmed that he see myself in the land of the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi, working on a project that we start in 1979. We spend hours and days and months and working there. And this is something. But like always, one project is not sure because we have no permission. We're still in a very complex stage of working that project. We're working on something that will happen very soon.
Where?
Something was of project probably will never be realized. You know, if I have time, I'll get it fast. I arrived in Paris in 1958 in March, and I have a little maid's room for the service room on the top floor apartment building where I start to do my small works of art. And that maid's room was just a few meters from the Arc de Triomphe. Hmm. And 1962, I make something who I never believed would happen, to propose to rob the Arc de Triomphe. And this is something I never believed would happen. Preparing exhibition in Paris, in Centre Pompidou, the director of the museum, I tell me, but we'd like to do something outside of the museum. And almost like something impossible, I said to the director, only one thing, so I returned back in Paris after wrapping the Pont Neuf in 1985, is to wrap the Arc de Triomphe. And we'll get the permission.
You see that? Yeah,
exactly. In fact, the young president who feel more things I'd say, because the entire belong to the president, to the nation. And we hope to do that next year. If hope to, is very much not hope to, is in the production, in the fabrication.
New adventures.
Christo, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you very much.
Andrei Pavlov, pleasure meeting you as well. The name of the film is Walking on Water. It is at Film Forum, and on Wednesday, May 22nd, Christo will be at the 92nd Street Y. This is All of It on WNYC.